Good evening. This is Rock Cash, your host this week on The People Speak. The People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen by phone calling 760-569-7676, then entering access code 192919 pound when prompted. Or if you have a smartphone, you can listen to bbsradio.com and navigate to station 2 and click on the listen icon. Also, during this show, you can participate by calling from the United States and Canada at 1-888-429-5471. This evening, our guest is former Governor Jesse Ventura. He not only is he a former governor, he's also a professional wrestler and also a former Navy SEAL. Jesse, good evening and welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome, Jesse. Jesse, a lot of questions for you tonight, and we'll try to go through them as quickly as possible. We know that you have a paperback release coming out of a book that you released last year called Democrats and Republicans and No More Gains in Government. Can you fill us in on this paperback?
Well, it's just got a few additional chapters and covers the 2012 election. You always got to add things to a book whenever you take it to paperback. You got to give something additional to try to, you know, entice them to buying it. And I guess the biggest new revelation in the book is that I talked to about is how apparently now our president can, without any oversight, can kill United States citizens. And I find that very interesting, considering there's nothing in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights that indicates that that power should be granted. But, you know, to me, every person in the country, no matter what they do, is entitled to a trial and to be charged with a crime before they're executed.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement on that. The Miranda rights are definitely violated. Our Bill of Rights is always violated. Another major issue, we're trying to go through the questioning because we're very limited on time with you. Another major issue is gun control, especially after the Sandy Hook incident in Connecticut. What is your position on that?
I fully support the Second Amendment to the Constitution. That's all I have to answer. I mean, that tells you that, you know, that's a guaranteed right in the Bill of Rights and should not be violated, just as either of the other Bills of Rights should be violated. That's the fabric of our country, and if they want to do it, then they should amend the Constitution and go through the proper way that was designed to do that.
Well, Jesse, between you and I, what is the proper way? Because it doesn't seem like there's anybody that we can trust up there on Capitol Hill.
Well, you have to amend the Constitution. You have to have 2/3 of the states ratify whatever you're going to do, and, you know, they have to vote on it. There's a procedure, just like how we got income tax. We technically got that illegally because they never fulfilled all the requirements to put it into the Constitution that we pay income tax.
Right, because originally it was supposedly the
weapon. 2/3 of the states never ratified it.
Wow.
You know, that's part of the process. 2/3, I believe, is 2/3 of the states must ratify it, and they never did. But then that's typical of government. If they can find a shortcut and circumvent the system, they generally do. That's why what makes Democrats and Republicans so alluring to me is how they're able to manage to do that.
Well, it's a two-party system, and the divide-and-conquer ruling, I guess they divide everybody's mindset, and they're able to keep people divided so they can go on and do what they want to do. In your paperback, you state that the Bill of Rights is a shredder.
No, I said it's in shredder,
yes.
Yeah.
What is your take on the FISA and the PRISM system that they're coming up with, where they're tapping in on our phone lines and everything?
Well, it's horrible. It's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. But again, our government doesn't put any they violate the Constitution constantly, and no one ever holds their feet to the fire on it. So what they're doing is they're simply cheapening the fabric of our country, and they're making it so that we're no different than any other country by not paying attention to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Moving along, your take on the marijuana legalization and taxation. Me personally, I have nothing against marijuana. I think it's just another natural plant, a lot of good uses to it. What is your position on that?
Well, I've been opposed to the war on drugs for decades. My mother, who lived through the prohibition of alcohol, told me that the war on drugs is identical to the prohibition of alcohol. All you're doing is making criminals rich and powerful. Because just because you outlaw something doesn't mean it's going to go away in a free society. It just means now it's going to be, that particular product will be dealt by unscrupulous people and criminals. And that's what happens when you make something illegal. As far as the usage of drugs, I've always maintained and said you can't legislate stupidity. If people are stupid and want to use them, you can't make it against the law. And in my particular case, I counter also that in a free society, how can you commit a crime against yourself?
I'm in full agreement with you. I've always looked at the war on drugs, especially when they went down after the cocaine cartel. It seems to me that they're trying to protect some other interest somewhere else, or maybe the cocaine was taken too much away from the heroin trade. So who knows?
Here's what's interesting in Afghanistan. Afghanistan provides the majority of poppies for heroin throughout the world. And when the Taliban took over, they shut them down. When we went in to fight the Taliban, we aligned ourselves with the poppy growers, and now all the heroin is back up and the poppies are growing and the business is back to full function. I guess I question what was our purpose, because when the poppy growers went down and all that illegal money dried up temporarily, that was right when that first big bank recession hit. Could it be because they were funneling and channeling all that dirty drug money and laundering it, that when it dried up and they didn't have it, that it caused the banks to get a shortfall? Interesting thing to think about, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. There was always a song when I was in junior high school that pretty much incriminated a lot of politicians as to the heroin trade and the LSD and all of that. Moving along, in your book, you've also stated that the media should be the watchdogs of the government, but recently they've become, the slaves to the government and the advertisement money. Who can we depend on for more reliable information?
Naturally, the internet, but you got to take the internet with a grain of salt. That anybody can say anything on the internet. You've got to research and make sure what they're saying is correct and not just simply a statement or whatever, and what the basis is for it. But it's very difficult today, because there used to be over 40 independent entities that you could get your news from, and through corporate takeovers, I think we're down to about four now. You could probably count them all on one hand, I'm sure.
What is your take on Alex Jones?
I do Alex's show all the time. Why? What is there to take on him? I don't understand the question.
A lot of people tend to make him look like a nut or a nut job, trying to incite people and things of that nature. Me personally, I've listened to a lot of his shows, but the recent shows of him going on the media and, working with CNN and, of course, doing the Piers Morgan show, it kind of portrayed him in a different fashion that would make people not tend to believe his credibility in the nature of, lunacy and things of that matter. Just by the actions that he took on the show.
I don't know what you're talking about, because I just got back in the country 3 weeks ago, and I didn't watch television since January 2nd until 3 weeks ago, and still today I have not watched the news. You know, I've watched sporting events and a couple of other things, but I've kind of eliminated the television out of my life.
You and me both.
Well, so I can't comment on how they're portraying Alex Jones. I have no idea because
I haven't paid
attention and haven't watched anything.
This was directly after the Sandy Hook incident when Piers Morgan had him on air about gun control.
Right.
So I
didn't see it, so I can't answer it.
No worries. I know he's out there trying to do good for the people. I implore his actions, and I think we need more people like him out there. Also, in your paperback, you explain how political parties are no longer running on ideas but funding from corporations and only interested in amassing money, power. The American people's freedom is on the line for special interest groups. What do you say to that?
Well, that's completely accurate. I mean, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure that out. When the Supreme Court gave corporations the same rights as individuals and allowed them into our political system unabated, that they can pump any amount of money in and they can form these super PACs that can put ads on TV that can be bold-faced lies, and they're not subjected to any type of repercussions from them. I think that they've polluted our entire election system and the money itself, because they have a system that these two parties have created that is based completely upon the concept of bribery. And that, you know, that's why I have a hard time staying in the system, because if you have a moral compass at all and you look at all, you know, the way it is today, it's, if after 4 years involvement, you feel like you need a shower.
You call for the abolishment of the political parties. I am in full agreement with you on that. Can you fill us more in on your views of it?
Well, it's just that they're so corrupt, and as I said, they've built a system based upon bribery. Turn them into what they really are, political action committees. And the best way we could start, and I question this, why do they put a party on an election ballot? Why not just the candidate's name? Why do they put parties on there? That way, if they just put the name, they do that on purpose. I know why it's done. Because that way you don't have to know the candidate. You know, if you're conservative, you look for the name Republican. If you know you're liberal, you look for the name Democrat. You don't even need to know who the candidate is anymore. They like that. And if they took the names off the ballots, then it would be inherent upon us as voters. We'd have to be more intelligent and understand who the candidate is and what they stand for. They could still endorse and all that stuff, just like the teachers union or the firemen do or whatever, what have you.
Awesome. I'm going to take some requests and some questions from the audience. I'm going to see if there's any call-ins. But another quick question for you on your on this sequester thing with Obama. What do you think of that? I don't see them doing anything for the people. I know jobs are being lost. Please fill us in.
On what? I'm not sure what you're asking me.
I'm asking you about Obama asked Congress to work together, but they still can't resolve anything whatsoever. And a lot of people are losing jobs. The sequester is a perfect example. So,
well, you know, again, that's the benefit of the Democrats and Republicans. And ultimately, really, it's our own fault because we keep electing them. You know, there's why people continue, like you look at Congress, they have a 10% approval rating, and yet over 90% of incumbents get reelected.
I have a question.
That's because part of it's the districts, they make them so they're not competitive. No. But it's still ultimately our fault because we continue to elect these people and put them in charge.
Do you think that we are actually in control of the elections, or are they just electronically manipulated?
They could be if you've got electronic voters and voting machines, but in Minnesota we do not have that. So I can only speak to Minnesota directly and say that no, Minnesota still use paper ballots. You can do a recount, and we've had some close elections recently, and they've all come out the way they're supposed to. But if you're in a state where they've approved these electronic voting machines, those machines are like an ATF machine that wouldn't offer you a receipt. No one would go to an ATF machine that didn't offer you a receipt. So electronic voting machines need to be done away with, because they're far too easy, like any computer, to hack into them. And you have no way of knowing if the person you voted for actually received your vote or not.
Well, that's been my thought on that. I don't like the electronic voting. I think anything can be manipulated to anyone's advantage, and I think we need to go back to the old system of voting, and every ballot should be accounted for. I have a question from Clifford in Houston, Texas, and he's asking you, Jesse, what's the status on your lawsuit with Chris Kyle now that he passed?
It's still going on. His wife takes over as of the executor of his estate, and no apology's been given to me. There's been no retraction, so I have to continue with the lawsuit and go to court to prove that this did not happen. It never occurred. It's completely fiction, and to use the system, that's all I can do. And it's never been about money from day one. It's always been about clearing my name and restoring my reputation.
Okay.
And so that's all I'll talk about it, because we're still in court.
Right.
And,
it's still in litigation.
It's coming up in the very near future.
Okay. And I have another question from Mike in California. He's asking me, he's saying, Jesse, in your first release of Demo Crips and Red Bloodikins, you loaded Ron Paul, and have your views changed on Ron Paul or Rand Paul, his son?
First of all, I've never had a view on his son. No, my views haven't changed at all on Ron Paul. He's retired from Congress now. He lost a great voice and one of the few people in Congress that I think truly, he was a Republican, but not really,
Right.
I mean, they sure didn't treat him much like one. And they sure didn't like him, but that's a compliment to him. I wish him all the best in this part of his life. But he retired, and everybody has the right to retire when you've pounded your head against the wall long enough.
Okay, and I've got Jason from Australia. He's asking what you think about underground bunkers and. Or a cave or things of that nature, like these preppers. Do you think it's a valid thing to do, or?
I don't know. I don't think about it at all. How's that for an answer?
that's an excellent answer. Okay, I guess that's it on the questioning from the viewers. So let's go back to. Other things that I would like to ask you personally, one being, what do you think about the 1,000 troops that have landed in Aqaba, Jordan, this past month?
I'm always concerned. My entire life we've been at war. I've had enough of it. I'm tired of war. It's time to bring our troops home. It's time to shut down all our military bases throughout the world and bring our young men and women home and let them protect who they took an oath to protect. They took an oath to defend the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and defend the United States of America. Every time I watch television and I see the United States Navy ad where they hit you at the end and tell you they're a global force for good, I get offended over that, because since when is our military a global force? They're supposed to be, and my belief on that, I follow the teachings very much of Major General Smedley Darlington Butler, who won 2 Congressional Medals of Honor. And he believes that, as I do, and he lived almost 100 years ago, but he said, I didn't fight for the people of the United States. I fought for the United Fruit Corporation. When they'd go into Central and South America, if they didn't get cooperation, they'd send in the Marines to get it. and Major General Butler says we need to pass a constitutional amendment that doesn't allow our troops to go any farther than 500 miles from our shores. And I agree totally with that, because we could blow up the world 10 times over. We do not need these bases, and we do not need our men and women of the armed forces spread out across the world.
Jesse, I believe you know it. When I joined the military, I joined for all the right reasons and defending our nation and everything else. But our nation has really never been in a defensive posture since probably the Spanish-American War. We've been in nothing but a offensive posture, whether it was against Germany or against Spain or it was against the Japanese.
Well, let's keep it to today. Today we're obviously in an offensive posture because, you know, I live out of the country 4 months out of the year, and public sentiment throughout the world today about the United States, they don't admire us anymore. They fear us. Because they fear if they don't go along with what we say, we're liable to invade them and overthrow their government.
Yes.
That's what's out there, a fear of the United States. Now, many people, I guess, would think that's wonderful. I personally don't. I think it was better when we were admired throughout the world as being this experiment of democracy, so unique. But unfortunately, that's not how we're looked at it today.
Well, it seems like that the spread of democracy is actually a fallacy, because we're not a democracy. We never were. But lately the media has been pointing us out as a democracy. We've always been a republic, and this is what we should have always been and should have always stayed. But how did we get to the point of a democracy when we're a republic?
I don't know. You define it for me. Give me a lesson. How did we? What's the difference between a democracy and a republic?
I don't see a democracy going out and trying to push other people into believing what they believe.
And a republic does that?
A republic stays to itself.
Oh, stays to itself?
Exactly.
And a democracy does. I think that's all. It's based upon what your leaders decide to do. I don't think it has anything to do with it. Some schematic of whether we're a democracy or a republic. If you're talking about how we elect our president, I've been opposed to the electoral college for since I can remember. We should abolish it. And
exactly.
Then it comes down to whoever gets the most votes wins. And that's the way it should always be.
Okay. Also, another question. In your book, you bring up the Koch brothers many times, who founded the Tea Party movement, for example.
Well, not really. They just have one chapter devoted to them.
Right. Now, the Koch brothers also...
I think they pronounce it Coke.
Coke? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, the Koch brothers, they also just bought up or contributed a lot of money to PBS stations, and it's like these PBS stations are not showing what they used to show, because they used to work on funds from the people. Now they got these big companies putting funds in there. It seems like they're getting soaked up into the main media stream.
Could well be. Certainly if they're being bought out, or they always follow the money. That'll tell you who the boss is. It's that simple. Who's ever putting up the cash is the boss. That's like we've forgotten as a society. We're the ones that put up the cash. The government operates on our tax dollars, so that theoretically makes us the boss. But they've made us believe that we're the servants, not the boss.
Right. Jesse, the people speak here. We allow the people to ask us the questions, and I'm taking questions directly from the people. Joe from Brooklyn says he understands Jesse's view on the Second Amendment, but who needs an AK-47?
But who needs it? Well,
yeah,
let me expand for a moment. If our country wants to take our guns away, why are we the biggest arms dealer in the world? And so it's okay for someone in another country to have one, but not me? Is that what the caller is insinuating? You know, my point being is I'm not a gun nut, but if the Second Amendment is there to protect citizens against oppressive government, if you look in the last 100 years where there's been, I can't think of the word now, where they massively slaughter people, genocide. If you look right. at where all the six last genocides that have occurred, they've all occurred in countries where strict gun control is practiced, where the people cannot defend themselves. And you can answer your caller, he could answer this question for me. I was in the Philippines when Ferdinand Marcos declared martial law and became a dictator. And the first thing he did was give the Philippine people 2 weeks, I think, to turn in all their guns, or it was the death penalty. Now, I would ask the question, why would a dictator make that his number one priority? To disarm the people.
I'm in full agreement with you.
So
because
the guy from Brooklyn, you know, there's, I hope, answers, and I'd like to hear answers to my questions from him as to why dictators would do that. And, you know, we dropped more ordnance on Vietnam than we did World War II. And all they were a bunch of rice farmers with a few AK-47s, and we could not defeat them.
The Vietnamese were very, very good and enlisted fighters. Of course, they had the knowledge of the terrain and knew how to use it very well.
We, don't we?
Yes.
All of us United States people, where we live, we have the knowledge of the terrain, and we live there. So that was one of the reasons the Japanese chose not to invade the United States in World War II.
Yes.
Because they knew if they invaded the United States that they would be fighting every citizen because the citizenry's armed.
Absolutely. I'm in full agreement. I remember when the Israelis invaded the West Bank in 1967.
Let me add to this. Why is it that we will protect the airports with government security when they're private industry, and yet we won't protect our own public schools?
Very correct on that one also.
And I'll finish with another one. What do we value more, our money or our kids? Well, everyone's going to say, of course, our kids. But it's not the way we behave, because if you go in the bank and try to rob the bank, there's an armed guard protecting the money. You could go into a school and there's nobody protecting the kids. So I think we truly like the money more than our kids.
Well, absolutely. What is your take on the Sandy Hook incident?
I don't have a take on it. It's a nut that went crazy. It seems to happen. The interesting one was the guy that did Aurora, Colorado, because he, the one that shot up the theater where the Batman thing was or whatever it was, he bypassed three theaters till he got to one that had a sign in front that said no guns allowed, and that's the one he chose to hit.
Wow, that's
now,
that's weird.
Why would he do that? Any guesses why he'd pick out the one and go into the one that had the sign no guns allowed?
Yeah, I never got that one either. One more question for you. I have a caller. Well, not a caller, but
besides,
a question from...
You want my fun definition of gun control? I've said it before. My definition of gun control is standing at 25 meters and putting two rounds in the same hole.
Yes,
that's real. That's gun control.
Well, mine's at 100 yards through a scope, so and putting it through the same hole. I'm in full agreement with you, Jesse. Issa in Washington, he was asking you this question. Of all the episodes of your show, The Conspiracy Theory, which one did you come away from thinking that was the most dangerous to the American people and
That's difficult to answer because there were multiple ones that seem to be very dangerous, and I would hate to categorize which one could be worse. The one that I found the most intriguing was the one, does the United States have a death ray?
I believe the rat is a death ray. It's going to boil your blood from the inside.
Not familiar with, and they haven't, and I believe so, because whatever we know they have, they're 20 years ahead, if we know they have it right now, they had this 20 years ago.
Right.
And that's the stuff, like my last book, 16 million documents they classify top secret every year that we can't see. 16 million. That must be just about every document.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, go ahead, caller. Identify yourself, please.
This is Lee in South Carolina.
Yes, go ahead, Lee.
Yes, well, I was wondering if, you know, why these people talking about wanting to take our guns, you know, like my AK-47 and my ARs, why they can't, you know, in the name of freedom, they want to take my guns, why don't they just have a state like, you know, like they did the poor old Indians, make a reservation for these people that's scared, you know, and wanting to take our guns. They need to make a safe haven for them people and let them live in a special state for that.
I agree with you. Mr. Ventura, we have a Lee from Tennessee, and he's asking, he wants to know if there's a way that they can make a special state for terrorists. And what do you think of these terrorists? Are they real or are they...
I think that there's certainly people out there that wish us harm, but I think that nobody asks the question of why do they wish us harm? What is the reason? Nobody seems to want to go there. Could it be our behavior throughout the world? And that my belief is we should get completely out of the Middle East. I mean, if you go back in history and you look at Anglo-Saxon, how the Anglo-Saxons discovered America, Christopher Columbus, and what they said, well, he was willing to go out in the ocean when they thought the world was flat just to avoid the Middle East and find another way to India.
That's so because...
If back then they didn't want nothing to do with the Middle East, why do we want everything to do with them today? Well, clearly it's because they have oil that our multinational corporations need to tap into or want to tap into. And that's the... My view is, let's get the hell out of there. Back in Lebanon, when they hit the Marine barracks and killed all those Marines a couple decades ago, did Ronald Reagan go to war? Absolutely not. He got the hell out of there. And that's what I say it's time to do. Get out of there. What business is it of ours what they do? I don't care what goes on over there.
With that being said, what do you think of the U.S. support for Israel?
I think Israel should support themselves. If I became president, I would cut out all foreign aid.
I'm in full agreement with
you. And I say this simply because how the hell can we give somebody foreign aid and money when we're so far in debt? We're in debt up to our eyeballs, our grandchildren. The debt's never going to leave. And yet, it's if you put it in basic terms, it's like you're broke, you're losing your house and your car, but cousin Bob calls and wants to borrow $500 from you. Do you send it or not?
Well, see, I'm on the same line as you are, but a lot of Americans, people don't realize is that the deficit is actually a debt that is imposed on our backs. And these people think, oh, well, our country owes it. They don't think that it's that they're responsible for that debt. They don't see that. They don't see the big picture of it.
Well, and the point is that all foreign aid is another form of bribery. It's we pay countries to do what we want them to do. And I've had enough of that nonsense, you know. I don't believe that this country is financially stable enough to give foreign aid to Israel or anybody else for that matter.
Right. And
people want to give their private money to Israel and help them out. That's their business.
Well, I agree with you there. I don't think we should be paying anybody anything. We shouldn't be out there giving money to other countries, but the only reason that they're doing that is because they're in the pockets of every single politician worldwide.
Exactly. Well, it's the same system we have here. It's a system of bribery.
Okay. Bill in Ohio asks that you run for president, please.
Well, You know, first of all, if I did run, I'd run with no political party, which would require the people to do a grassroots movement to get me on the ballot in all 50 states. And from there, there'd have to be some type of guarantee that I could debate, because if you can't debate, you can't win. And so if those two criteria were met, I'd give it serious consideration, but I really don't think they will be. So I think that I can clearly make those statements and not have to worry about leaving my home in Mexico and coming back and enjoying winters in Minnesota again.
One last question for you, Jesse. I know you're on a time restriction. I've noticed the media candy coating this PRISM scandal, and you know, what do you think is going to happen with Snowden? Do you think that they're going to go after him? And
well, it's pathetic. Anyone that takes an oath to protect the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, if you see it being violated, it's your duty to report it.
Absolutely.
He simply reported that the United States government lied to us all. They lied.
Right.
They blatantly lied. They said that they weren't listening to our calls or and our emails, and he blatantly showed that wasn't true. So now they're going to put him in jail? How about putting in jail the people that are violating our constitutional rights?
Yeah, like...
The same with Bradley Manning. Bradley Manning, look at his initial thing he showed. He showed a chopper massacring innocent civilians down on the street. And he's going to go to jail, but the guys that were shooting the people are not? I'll tell you, we better get our priors. Notice that when somebody whistleblows the government wants to throw them in jail for 50 years. When they catch the government lying and cheating.
I'm in full agreement with you. I have two more questions for you. One is from a viewer, Clifford in Houston, Texas. Again, he is asking you what you think about the Benghazi cover-up and the CIA.
Well, first of all, everybody's outraged over that. How come no one asks about the Iraq War cover-up and the lies that were told there? We were told there were weapons of mass destruction, lie. We were told Iraq had ties to Al-Qaeda, lie. And we went into an incomplete war there. How many people have died in Iraq? How many innocent civilians when we invaded the country, overthrew the government, and occupied them? And they're still fighting. It's flaring up again. And nobody seems concerned over the lies that took us into that war, which is far more than the tragedy that he spoke of.
I'm in full agreement with you. I think Bush and his entire administration should be held liable for the murder of our American troops. Because
definitely they should be held accountable for torturing.
That also, but you know. When you take somebody to war on a lie, it's actually committing the murder yourself, even though you didn't do it personally. But it's kind of like the Charles Manson theory, where Charles Manson, took these people.
Orders.
We weren't in the self-defense posture, so it's murder one, as far as I'm concerned. And Jesse, I'd like to thank you very much. I know you need to get going. If you have more time, just say so, and we'll keep you. We have
I wish I could, but I don't, because I got one last interview to do, and then I'm all done, and I'll be enjoying the summer golfing, hopefully.
Great. You have a wonderful time golfing,
all right,
Jesse.
Thank you, and
thank
you guys have a good
thank
one.
You
we'll
so much for doing the show at the People
Speak. Next fall. Bye-bye.
Take care. Have a good night. Thank you, people. That is the end of our show this evening, and thank you for listening to the People Speak Radio. Good evening.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. one bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office at Summer People. And they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.